You what?
I'm glad you're feeling great because I cut my workout short because of you.
So, I feel like shit.
Anyway,
every morning.
You always feel like shit. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Tuesday. It is August the 24th, 2021. We hope you guys are doing well out there in Facebookville and YouTube and all that good stuff. We want to thank you guys for tuning in each and every day. It is a big, big, big day. I know you say temper your expectations or whatever, but on our network today, as of this morning, 9 o'clock, it dropped. Artie Lang, the legend that is Artie Lang, is now on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. His interview with Jimmy Palumbo.
Yeah, we'll clarify. He's not on the network. He's on Jimmy's podcast.
Just let me live. Let me enjoy this moment. I've been choked up. I've been a huge Artie Lang fan for a long time. I bought his book on my way to my first trip to Vegas. I went with my boy Greg. That was like the girlfriend I had dumped me, and then I still had a trip to Vegas to go, and I'm like, I can't not go, you know. So my boy Greg ponied up the money and went. I bought Too Fat to Fish, which was Artie Lang's book, his biography, and it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to read it. It was hilarious. I mean, look, you don't root for somebody to keep his gambling and drug habits afloat. But he's cleaned himself up. He's 2.5 years sober, and he's on the Jimmy Palumbo show today as it dropped. Also, Squeaky Bum Time podcast dropped today as well. Mike Salerno and Laurent Cortines are available for download. So, and then today, the MMA podcast is out.
And Joe Matarese actually dropped his podcast.
Joe Matarese
on time.
Getting involved, had that shit up yesterday. I was so excited to see that he had that going, and you know, so it's. Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
And if you're listening, Joe, here's your reminder right now. Record your commercial and send it over.
All you people out there, record a commercial for us. We want
to definitely to remind you.
We want to promote. We want to get you guys some more listeners. And that's how to do it. So last night, what do we got? AJ now does the rundowns. So I'm excited about that. I can just come in, look at the rundown, see what we have in the world of sports right now. There's plenty of it. But yeah, how was last night? Did everything okay as far as editing Jimmy's podcast?
Yeah,
that was
good.
Fun.
I put my phone down when I have to do an edit because if I pick my phone up every 15 seconds, I don't edit. I get on Instagram, I text with Jimmy, I text with Dave, I'll text with AJ. Ashley was over, so I didn't have to worry about ignoring her text. She was over on one side, I'm over there editing. Mm-hmm. And I pick up my phone and I had a ton of texts. Well, I wouldn't say a ton, but I got like chewed out and then apologized to by Jimmy for chewing me out, and then woke up to a call at like not a call, but a text again this morning at 7:30. Like,
not up, bro.
Radio silence.
Yep, not up, bro.
Biggest day of the year, and you're a no show.
Listen,
I said, bro, I'm the only one that fucking showed up. I've been working for 8 hours on that podcast.
Yeah, it takes a little while. Artie's audio was as good as we're gonna get it because he was calling in from a Nextel phone or something like that. It was a little muffled at the start, but it gets better as you go. So definitely check that out. It's doing very well right now, and we're excited about the traction that it could bring to Chop Sports as a whole. So yeah, so that's that. But the first line on this thing, I just eat my words completely. I know AJ, I think AJ did this on purpose because me and AJ had ourselves a morning. I'll just call it how it is. I'm at the gym. I'm working out. I wake up today and I realize I'm like, oh man, the blog ain't up. Like we're trying to do a blog to associate with the podcast. I could have sworn I told AJ to do it as he was walking out of the studio to when we were recording already. So I'm like, fuck, man, he didn't get around to it. I'm like, whatever, let's make sure it gets done. So I wanted to do like a to-do list for AJ, right? That's what I wanted to do. I was like, let me just, because I know he said he had mentioned coming in earlier. And I was like, well, that's awesome. You know, like he's going to come in earlier. Now, the reason why he wants to come in earlier is because he doesn't want to record his podcast late. I get that because I don't even want people in here that late. Unless it's me or you, like I almost would rather if we shut this down for the day, it's shut down for the day. You know what I mean? So kudos to him for wanting to take the initiative. But I'm like, all right, let's just make sure we get these things done first. Then you can do whatever the hell recording you want. The response I got. Oh my goodness. I won't go word
As
for
if
word.
If I needed any more stress in my morning.
Dude.
I'm AJ, sitting there having to fucking play
AJ,
mediator.
My guy. I am team AJ. I'll bring him up on camera here. I am team AJ all the way. I am team AJ when it comes to his success. I'm team AJ when it comes to him being an intern here, how much work he does. It's just absolutely fantastic, and everything he does is mint. Boy, usually the pre-workout does it for me at the gym. To get a tech.
I think we're having a little audio issue right now.
What?
I'm hearing a big echo.
You're hearing a big echo. You know why? Because I didn't mute your mic. Now it should be fine. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, continue with the assault.
Nice little.
Yeah, the nice little breather there. So I'm doing my workout, and today when I woke up, I was like, I'm gonna have a great workout. I'm gonna get this day started. There's a big day ahead with the Artie thing about
to
drop.
I got to wake up and like deal with Jimmy texting me.
Well,
and
that's making sure that's the unfortunate.
Podcast was up. I need to start working out again soon, man.
I'm telling you, it's good like for the mind.
Yeah, don't tell me. You don't got to tell me. I'm feeling like shit all the time because I don't work out enough. And I got people like...
That was like some of the first content that I saw of you before this whole thing even started with us. Like you used to do like training and boxing and all this other shit.
Yeah, I'm like to be active.
Right.
But I can't anymore because I have no life.
On the to-do list of Chop Sports, you used to write like what you wanted to accomplish. Not the to-do list, the goals, right? We have achieved a lot of them already. But then the other ones were like dodgeball tournament, kickball tournament, this, that, and the other tournament. I'm like, this guy thinks he's getting on the field.
I would still love to do a dodgeball tournament.
And I think it should happen. Because I am
100% a dodgeball legend. Definitely nobody in this room is beating me.
I saw a video the other day of like Ultimate Frisbee. I didn't think that sport was that crazy, you know? I can't throw a Frisbee for shit. Every time I throw it, just goes right to the ground. But anyway.
I could throw a Frisbee, and I could definitely catch the shit out of one.
So right. You're like Air Bud.
I have no cardio.
Right. Right now.
One sprint.
I don't care how much. I'm tapping out. I don't care how much cardio I do at the gym, and I feel good about it. I can do the Stairmaster for 30, 40 minutes, drip until I'm dying, right? But I can't walk up my own steps at home. Go figure that math out. I walk up the steps, I'm like, whew, boy. Like that was
a state of mind. When you're going to the gym, you're going to the gym.
And I have workout. Tunes in my head.
You have everything going for
you. The blood flowing.
You stretch. Right. And then just sitting off, you know, getting off your ass to walk up the steps to record a podcast or to do anything other than eat food
at
your home at night.
Right. So, all right. I'll continue the original story that AJ sent me a text basically saying to me, and I'll paraphrase, yeah, that's cool that you want all that chop shit done. And he did say chop shit. And I was like, he goes, that's cool. It almost felt like a Kanye West, Taylor Swift moment. Like, I'm going to let you finish, but if I'm going to go to the studio at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to record. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Wait,
I understand.
Who's he talking to?
Right. When me and AJ discussed him coming in early, it was with the sole purpose of, all right, so tomorrow we're going to go in early to record. Because I wasn't going to go in fucking early to watch AJ set up cameras and do a write-up. So I was like, wait, hold the fuck up. Am I coming in or not?
So that I saw red, and I think we both saw red, maybe. I don't know. Also saw the fact he was like, this guy sucks. Like, Dave just sucks. I hate Dave. Like, I work for Chop Sports, but I hate Dave, and Gooch is great. Like,
no.
And I'm like, I'm sitting myself.
I am great. I do.
I know you're great, but like, I'm sitting there, like, I even told, I was at home. I'm like, this guy must think the world of me. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, that sucks. And I think there was one time you came in and you even told me, AJ was like, does Dave even like me? And I'm just like, of course I like it. Why would I not like AJ? Like, AJ's a pivotal.
AJ's a legend.
Dude at this place. So I'm like, and then he says that to me today and I'm like, I don't know. Like, and maybe it's my old school mentality.
No. We're like, I was wrong. You know what? I came out. I was burnt out from yesterday. Jersey Mike's. We're having understaffing issues, people. Okay.
You guys want a job? Go to Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, I think that we all collectively. And then this is what I said to you. And I'm like, I'm staying out of this. And you're like, bro, what the fuck?
I got mad at you.
And I'm like,
and I don't get mad.
My thing is this. It's like everybody could be right, wrong, or it doesn't matter. If everybody here is upset, then we have nothing to talk about until. Everyone's not upset. That's my approach, especially when we're talking business. If you're mad and you're mad and I'm like, okay, this is probably the worst time to have a conversation.
I might have said some things where I was just like, I'm gonna go in there. I'm just gonna start beating the daylights out of this kid. And I'm like, wait a minute. I can't. What am I thinking? Like, I can't. What am I, like, as mad as I got, I was like, what am I going to fight the kid? So I did come in here. You didn't even know I was here.
No, I had my headphones.
You just expected me to come in here, like, kicking doors down and taking names. And that was probably the intent when I was driving down here. But I'm sitting here and I'm listening to Jimmy Palumbo's podcast, having some laughs, relaxing.
As AJ gingerly puts the mic down, I'm bowing out of this conversation.
I get here and I talk to Jimmy. And I'm like, bro, I'm about to walk in, you know, understand the morning I'm having. He's like, I heard. He's like, be cool, man. Be cool. And I'm like, oh, hi, Kettle. You know, like, be cool. You won't shut up about us.
I'm sure,
like,
Jimmy's watching right now. So.
Possibly. And well, no, he's probably listening to his own podcast, to be honest with you, because it just dropped at 9 o'clock. No,
he's definitely watching to make sure that we plug the podcast.
Oh, and talk, well, we do all the time, and he knows that too. But, yeah, so I came in here, and I simply asked AJ one question. I said, how much do you bench? And he's like, not much. And I'm like, because you grew muscles overnight. And that was my last word. I was like, and then I told him, like, just like I said on the air, always, I'm Team AJ. I am. And I don't like getting mad, but I got mad this morning. I was like, this.
I'm Team fucking mellow out.
You are. And you know what? I even told, I'm at home. I'm like, how does Chris keep cool? I don't get it. I was like, maybe I need to smoke weed like you.
It's not even that. It's like, I get angry, but the one thing that I'll say about myself, and I don't mean to pat yourself on the back. I get angry just like anybody else, but I don't act when I'm mad. I just sit back.
I think,
like,
I just, you know, do what? This. There's a lot of words.
I put everything down, you know? And then I think about it, because there's been too many times in my life where I react and then I regret it. So I don't want to have regret.
Yeah. Because if I would have killed the kid, then I go to jail and it's just not a good scene.
Then it's a wrap anyway.
Chop Sports gets sued.
Honestly, I think we need AJ. We need another version of AJ.
I know.
I'm not in a position. We're talking about it the last 3 days. Like, we really need somebody else to come in and help out.
And I'm all like, and you're like, get rid of him.
We're good to go. Two of us. I'm like, no, we the fuck ain't. No, we ain't.
Anyway, my apologies, AJ. I love you, man. Yeah, good. I'm glad you feel better. Because I don't know. So I'm looking at this. So anyway.
I don't feel better because I'm still dying for a coffee. I'm debating door dashing and spending $13 on Wawa coffee.
What I was going to do today, though, instead of, you know, we try to tell ourselves not to order lunch, and I won't. I'm trying, like, I work out too hard to feel like and look like the way I do. I'm like, I got, you know what changed it? And this is going to sound stupid. Brock Lesnar coming back the other night and looking the way he does. I know I'm not Brock. I know I can't be Brock, but I'm like, he's like my same weight.
We just start,
he's probably, and he's a little taller, but I'm like, and that, yeah, I could just start doing the test like Tommy. You know what I mean? And I just start sticking something in my ass. But I don't think I want to do that.
Pause.
I know. That wouldn't sound bad. Needle.
Inject.
Inject, right. My goodness. But anyway, this whole thing surfaces back to me eating my words when I said yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever we talked about Josh Rosen, I said, that's fine. He's done with football.
You also said last week, bang a dead horse. Not to bang a dead horse.
No, I did
a dead horse. I swear to God. Yes, you did.
Bang a dead horse.
Not to bang a dead horse.
There's fetishes for that. Is that a thing? I said that?
You did say that.
I didn't say beat a dead horse. Dead horse?
No, you said bang a dead horse. And I know because Hawaii Mike.
Oh, my God. Hawaii Mike, bro. Yeah. He's on it. It's one thing to be on it, but it's another thing to be like, you want, hey, you know, Hawaii Mike, you want to edit this thing? Because I'll send you the file every day. And you know what? You can edit this and you put it out there and promote and all this
stuff. He's not up yet. He's in Hawaii.
Yeah, he's in Hawaii. So it's 4 a.m. over there and he's snoozing away in Dream Street. But anyway, sorry. Oh, that's another thing. You know how many times I say anyway? By the way, I don't know if you caught that.
And again, I think you're picking up on Ibby's and again.
Yeah. Or he says, like I said, or something like that. No, but
and again.
Whatever the case, I say anyway more, like, I'm critical of my own work. I say that more than anything. Every time we're going into something else, I'm like, well, anyway. I'm like,
well,
I want to
well, anyway,
blow my
back
head
to
off.
Josh Rosen.
So back to Josh Rosen. I said he was
started
done
it four times.
Done with football, right? And the kid signs, according to AJ, because I didn't see this. But Josh Rosen signs with the Atlanta Falcons. So speaking of Ibby, you got yourself a stud backup quarterback where I thought he was out of football because he just doesn't seem like he carries himself like he likes the game of football. I don't know. It's just a demeanor thing to me. Like, he doesn't carry himself like I'm a star quarterback. Well, maybe because he's not. And maybe he never got off to that start because of all the crap that he went through. Think about this, though. You're the first pick for the Cardinals. And then the following year, they're like, by the way, we like somebody better. It's like a bad relationship.
I mean, the way I look at it is he's a top 70 quarterback in the world. He's got himself a nice job. He's going to make a cool mill, easy, right, to just go in there and be a backup. If he gets any action, nobody's expecting much, and he might be able to put together a little highlight reel because he's got some weapons,
right,
and then gets another shot somewhere. I don't think he'll ever be the starter, but to your point about looking disinterested, I find it hard. Some people are just different, you know? Doesn't mean that they care more or less, different. And how they carry themselves is different.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, I get what you're saying. Out of a quarterback, you don't want him to look disinterested, because looking at a guy like Jay Cutler, who had the talent, but because he was disinterested, it didn't translate.
What a G he was.
But Josh Rosen isn't the talent that Jay Cutler was. And honestly, I fucking love Jay Cutler.
He's a bear.
One of my favorite players of all time. And not because I ever thought he was good. It's completely the opposite. I always knew he was shit. Bears fans got on board as soon as they signed him, as if he was going to be some gunslinger.
He's going to be the next Jim McMahon.
He threw more completions to the Packers than he did to the Bears when we played, so I'm good with it.
And he's just a G, too. Like, he's just the way he carried himself.
Memes, the memes. Oh, the memes smoking J memes. Talking about, I know that we removed it, but funny sports moments.
No, I wanted to get to that anyway.
Any Jay Cutler meme with the cigarette dangling out of his mouth.
Well, hilarious. The reason why that was, well, we were talking about it in pre. AJ said something about seeing some kind of something. What was it? Okay. Yeah, grab your little Mikey there over there. But what?
Go ahead and explain. So basically,
hard to explain. You might have to YouTube this afterwards.
It's a Braves promotional event that they do at the stadium. It's called Beat the Freeze. So what happens is it's similar to what the Nationals do with the presidents, where they race the presidents.
Okay.
Instead, it's a 1-on-1 with the freeze.
So who's the freeze?
Is it some fast guy that I guess runs track?
Like, he's a real human being? Like, he's not a stuffed animal guy?
Like, he looks like Frozone.
He's a real human being dressed up almost like the Flash, but in an ice version, not okay. Red.
Yeah.
All right, so beat the freeze. You got to beat this guy.
He gives you a head start, and I've seen guys beat him.
Yeah, I know, but
and you just won a rally towel. Congratulations.
But what was funny last night was that the guy was in such a close position to do so and falls directly on his face.
Was that last night?
Yeah, last night.
Are you sure?
Against the Braves, yeah.
So Yankees Braves?
Yankees Braves, yeah.
I've seen that happen before where the guy thought he had it.
And just ate shit.
Yeah, so it's happened before. I wanted to show the video, but now that I explained it, it's not as funny. So what I was going to ask you guys is, what are your favorite funny sports moments?
So on the spot, which I'm not really on the spot because I read the rundown, but then I thought we were scratching it, so yeah, I didn't have any funny sports moments. I guess if I had to think off the top of my head... Dave, you got one?
Yeah, when it was I have a couple. Anytime the quarterback lines up under the guard, I find to be one of the funniest things in the world. When he literally has been rocked around, and he goes, like, he gets on there, and the guard turns around, like, what are you doing? I don't have the ball. You know what I mean? Like, that's hilarious to me. But in specific, last year, was it the Bills? When they threw all the dildos on the field? Like, do you remember that?
I don't.
Oh, my God, dude. Somebody chucked one, and, like, the announcers have to play it off and just try to describe it, but not describe it. Hilarious. But my favorite, one of my favorite moments is the Marshawn Lynch, all Marshawn Lynch's interviews, but the whole my stuff when he turned around and did, like, the spin, I hold my dick, you know, and one of my favorite moments. Well,
when he's talking about how, with Peyton Manning, how he did the interview, and he's like, I had to do a shot, and they were like, a shot of what? Like, Toradol? He's like, Henny. He took a shot of Henny. He's like, where'd you keep it? Like, you just go up to the bar in the locker room? He's like, my backpack. Like, what the fuck kind of question is that? Like, how could you not know that
protect
I have
Henny your mentals in my and your chicken?
But that wouldn't be really a sports moment. That's like
an interview.
He's a sports
comedian. Like, he's a
commodity. I guess we're talking about things like the butt fumble. You know, maybe, I wouldn't say that they're funny on purpose, but a lot of, like, accidentally funny when, like, Steve Smith Sr. ice up, son. Like, shit like that. That's great to me. But if I have to think on the top of my head, I am absolutely shot. I smoked this morning.
I mean, I have to say, now it explains your
no, that
your,
was the your reason for whatever you're cutting your workout short. My reason for smoking this morning was you two and Jimmy Palumbo. Right?
Sorry to ruin your morning. But
Ashley was like, You took a hit of weed, didn't you? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I don't care. And I was like, I know. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I did. She's like, well, I could smell it.
Oh,
because right, I've been trying not to smoke during the day.
Good for you. Clean the act up. Yeah, I mean, funny moments in sports happen all the time. It's just hard to pinpoint. Like, I can think back to 92 Super Bowl when Leon Lett is celebrating. He gets stripped by Don Beebe. You know what I mean? But, again, they come in waves, I guess. There was a game last night. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, there was a preseason football game. I know you don't care, but it was on ESPN Monday night. The Monday night broadcast was out. I watched some of it. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Saints. Now, I guess, you know, first of all, you said
I started to realize how little it means that there was a preseason football game on, because you're like, even well, you're like, happen. Oh, I guess.
But I mean, things happen. Like you said, the running back for the Jaguars got hurt, right?
Yeah, Travis Etienne is going to be in a walking boot going forward, and he is out indefinitely with a mid-foot sprain.
James Robinson fantasy owners picking him on up.
Mid-foot sprain?
Mild
foot sprain. And I think the walking boot is a precautionary thing.
They always do that.
I'm just going to say it. I said it to you earlier. I know that certain people, especially at the spot that they're able to get them at, fantasy alert. Hello, everybody. Fantasy alert. I'm avoiding all Jaguars running backs this year. I don't care what round. Because
their offensive line is abysmal. Like,
and they're I don't think any one guy is going to get the load, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trevor
Lawrence hasn't thrown a touchdown yet. And he's running for his goddamn life. Like, that offensive line is very bad.
I think him not throwing for a touchdown is completely irrelevant. I think him running for his life is relevant, but at the same time,
that's your starting offensive line.
That offensive line was a starting offensive line. They weren't missing a guy. They weren't missing two guys, because that's important when we're talking about a unit. It's one or two guys that aren't even going to be on the team might have been playing yesterday while he's running around for his life. We'll see how that shakes out. I'm not sold on their offensive line regardless. Jacksonville is going to be a bad team. We talked about them at length already.
Mm-hmm.
But
what about your boy? Well, your boy, actually. Aren't you a Jameis Winston apologist? Like, you are a big, big Jameis Winston guy, and he balled out.
Big Jameis guy, Jabbo, balled out last night. Dude, him and Marquez Callaway just seem like they have a really great connection. I think Callaway has either three touchdowns in two preseason games or even maybe four. But
talking about like a round 15 flyer,
Marquez Callaway, a little fly.
Like, you take him, he's going to be the guy that's pretty much available after you're done drafting. So I wouldn't let him be available and let him blow up. He's not going to blow up week one. We'll get that out of the way.
They play the Packers. Okay.
But I do think that there's a chance that the Callaway kid, is that how you pronounce his name? Yeah. Marcus Callaway?
Yeah.
I think
is that the one that played with the Browns and the Giants?
No, that's Antonio. Callaway.
All right. He's been lighting it up in the preseason, so we'll see if it translates. But at the end of a fantasy draft, I think that's kind of where
Jameis Winston, we said it yesterday when we were talking about the quarterback battles. I don't find Taysom Hill to be even in the same breath as a quarterback.
It's ridiculous.
I know you said they're going to run two like all year
because they're such different players, but collectively they're one pretty decent player. I don't think Taysom Hill throws the ball around the way Jameis will, but he's much better at converting a shorter down and distance.
Right.
We'll see. I have a feeling that you're going to see both all year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess we'll see about that, because Jameis Winston looked good. And I got the text from Craig, Karsh hit me up. He's like, Jameis looks fantastic. And I was like, it is the Jaguars. Let's everybody calm down. Like, look, I'm not saying the Jaguars are a bad team, but they're a pretty bad defensive, like secondary, no bueno. Like,
no, I'm saying it. The Jaguars are a bad
team. You could say that. I try to be nice. We have Jaguars representation within Chop Sports. One being Scoop, don't really care there, but my friend Jess, I don't like to beat a dead horse.
I honestly came to terms with this a couple weeks back, where, just full disclosure, I was being told, like, you know, you need to give your actual opinion rather than not worrying about it. And I did. I unloaded on the Raiders, and my best friend is a Raiders fan, and he texted me after. He's like, you know, I don't really have too much to be excited about. I agree with you. He's like, thanks for the shout out, I guess, because I really did kind of go in on the Raiders. And you heard me the other day.
I'm very
honest about my take on the Cowboys. I think they're a great offensive team. I don't buy their defense one bit. I think you said middle of the road. I'm like, I'm not sure. I need to see it. I need to see it.
Yeah.
And even that might not be enough because your coach sucks.
So,
can't get that out.
You know what? For every Dallas Cowboy reference you make fun of me, like, for doing, like, the amount of times I've said about the Dallas Cowboys, this guy's talked about Mike McCarthy. I don't care what it is. That's a healthy, unhealthy obsession you have with Mike McCarthy. Has he really ruined you? Like, I don't hate Jason Garrett anymore.
Honestly, I'm not unhealthily obsessed with anything except potentially.
Better say Chop Sports.
Weed.
but Jesus. But anyway.
But definitely not Mike McCarthy's. I won't do the Skip Bayless thing here, but fuck Mike McCarthy. We'll just leave it at that.
That's the nicest way you could possibly put it. That's fine. What else you got here, AJ? You got writing things down left and right. And,
which year
year two players. I think we go with the year two players.
Okay, let's go with the year two players.
Which year two player?
This must have been also
the biggest leap.
And you have written down here: Justin Herbert, Tua, Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Jonathan Taylor. This must have been done. He must have been writing this rundown while me and him were arguing, because he's like, I'm not even putting CeeDee Lamb on this list. F that guy. But CeeDee Lamb, I feel like he broke out last year along with Justin Jefferson. That's why Justin Jefferson's not on this list. You know what I mean? Because he's a star already.
But, I mean, Herbert's on the list, and he won Rookie of the Year. How could he break? If anything, I think there's some regression. True. Potentially in Herbert and
good Justin thing we don't Jefferson. Have him as a fantasy keeper.
And I'm not saying that they're going to be worse players. I'm saying that they're
right
based on the numbers they put up last year. It would be understandable for them to just do a little bit worse and it'd still be a good season.
Truth. Okay.
So they're off my list.
You know how about Herbert's not gonna Tua? You like Tua or no? Like no, you're not I'm sold not, on Tua? I'm not
sold on Tua. I think that there could be progression because there wasn't much out of him last year. So
almost. Yeah, but he also got the shit end of the stick being pulled and stuff for Fitzpatrick a bunch of times. Like pulled out of games. Like how
would
you do that?
I would say that the way Miami was playing at the time, that he might have been handed a gift by even getting the job because Fitzpatrick didn't really do anything to lose that job last year. They took it from him. So shit end of the stick. That's one way of looking
at
it.
Do you think
my end of it is always like these guys need to be able to handle this shit. They haven't.
Do you think it was like do you think it was forced by ownership, like to Flores, like yo, we drafted this guy, get him in?
I think there was a combination of understanding where they were at as an organization. They probably weren't going to contend for a title, right?
Right.
Fitzpatrick isn't their future. They're understanding like we could still win some games. We have an obligation to the guys in the locker room. And I think for the first three quarters, I think at certain points, I think Tua gave them a better chance to win than Fitzpatrick. But you have to dumb down the offense to do that. And in the fourth quarter, when you really want to be able to call your playbook, then you put in the guy that knows the playbook. And look.
So then what do you think? Do you think that the Washington football team takes the same approach with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Or do you think that he's the guy where he could play quarterback?
Does Washington football team have a guy?
Tyler Heineke?
So then you answered the question. They don't. Right?
So then he's not a stopgap. He's the guy this year.
Well, I wouldn't say he's not a stopgap. He's just not there to hold the job or keep the seat warm for a guy that they just drafted to get ready.
They parted ways with Haskins. They gave up on that experiment.
They kind of know the deal with Heineke. He's a backup, right?
I liked him last year. He was interesting to watch.
If you bring in a Fitzpatrick, that means you're really not believing in a Heineke.
Truth.
You didn't draft a quarterback high. So Fitzpatrick, it's his job this year. I like Washington's offense this year. I've said that a ton of times.
You said you like the defense, too. Are they just going to win the Super Bowl at this point?
I wouldn't say that because Green Bay is...
Bastards. Anyway. See? Caught myself. Said it. Said anyway. It's unbelievable. Ruins my mojo. But anyway.
Well, who else we got? Oh, you're such a pussy.
Like, holy shit.
So Tua, Herbert...
Joey Burrow. I think that this dude has himself a nice little offense. And if that offensive line could be just a fraction better, no, I wouldn't say fraction. They got to be better than last year because that's what got Joe Burrow killed, right? That's a total combo name. That's what got Burrow killed last year and ruined his season, right? So I look at that offense. I'm looking. A lot of people are talking about the new kid, Ja'Marr Chase, right? They're talking about him, and they're talking about second-year T. Higgins, and I'm totally on board. But, boy, I'm this biggest Tyler Boyd fan ever. You know what I mean? Like, this kid is great. I think he's an amazing – and he's probably going to stay in the slot, right?
So that's what he is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not an outside guy, and they have two guys that can stretch it down
the field.
The
other two guys are clear-cut better talent than Tyler Boyd. Boyd's more of like a Jarvis Landry light to me, where he's going to be, he catches the ball, he runs good routes, but he is who he is. He's a slot guy.
Okay.
But what does that have to do with, what are we talking
Joe
about?
Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Oh, yeah. Offense. The offensive line is a little bit improved. They got a high second round pick. Burrow didn't play barely last year, so the only way is up for him. I do like his weapons. I think Burrow will have a nice year.
Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't say he's going to take the biggest leap.
A guy I can't really get behind yet, but like it's hard not to because, you know, the Chiefs offense is just so good and high powered is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Last year, I mean, this guy knows, the fantasy guy himself is in the building. He must have been one of the more frustrating guys to have on your team.
I did not have him in any leagues last year. I think, knew to stay away, that draft price was way too high.
I think that's what it is. Last year, once Damian Williams thing happened where
he opted out.
Mm-hmm.
Lev Bell left town.
Didn't he? join them last year?
He joined them week six.
Yeah, so anyway.
I'm an idiot, but go ahead.
But I think because his draft stock was so high in fantasy, going into the year, there was these expectations. He actually had a good year. He just didn't have fifth overall fantasy pick good year.
Correct. So his he didn't meet his expectations in the fantasy regard.
I would
say that's why I call him the most frustrating guy.
There is definitely potential for him to exceed his draft status this year because I'm seeing him go in like the third round. I think that he has potential to be a high-end number two, low-end number one. So, yeah, I think he's one of the guys on my list where I would say is going to see an uptick in production. I also think that he catches the ball better than you saw last year as well, which if you look, I'm not sure his college numbers, but I know for a fact that he's not just a one-trick pony. He could do it all. And in that offense, I like almost anybody, just not on the consistency level. With Kelsey and Mahomes, I'll take consistency, but the other guys, even Tyreek Hill, I feel like is boom or bust.
I'm not a big. I know Tyreek Hill's the fastest dude in the league, and that's all well and good. But like, when you look at a receiver, it doesn't move the needle for me. Tyreek Hill, I feel like
he definitely moves the needle. He's just not, like you said,
he ain't a guy that's gonna like he'll take a drag route and take it to the house, right? That'll be exciting. Or he'll take the top off a defense. That'll be exciting. But like him on a post on like a slant, I'm not throwing it to Tyreek Hill.
I don't give a fuck where he is. If you have him open in space, I'm throwing it to him. So if they don't have a guy there and he's there, then he's getting the ball. It's a matter of, does he run the routes the same way as these other guys? I mean, that's all well and good. Tyreek Hill's an all-world talent. I would fucking take him.
I know you. Look, if he's sitting in there at where I'm at.
I won't say that he doesn't move the needle, though. Because he is outside of Devontae and Hopkins, you could make the case starting then, I think. I'm not going to put him there, but you could certainly make the case.
See, it's so weird to me because I look at Tyreek Hill and I'm like, yeah, cool, fast, great. But I would take on my team, not my fantasy team, but like my overall receivers team, I'm taking a Mike Evans again. I'm taking a Keenan Allen again. I'm taking all these guys over Tyreek Hill on my team. Not my fantasy team because I know it's boom or bust. Yeah. I might agree with you
for a litany of reasons, but that doesn't take away the fact of who Tyreek Hill is. He's
correct.
He's legit.
We went from Edwards-Helaire to talking about Tyreek Hill. Speaking of receivers, Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers have themselves a nice little situation to be in, too, if they've come up with a quarterback. Like, I don't think this Trey Lance experiment, that might be short-lived. I don't know what this kid's going to be, you know, but they did make and move mountains to get to this kid, to draft him. But Jimmy G, man, like, it's hard for me to just write him off. Like, I know that he hasn't produced, like, the Super Bowls yet, but he got there. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo played in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago. That's pretty insane. And I think that if you're capable of doing that, then you're capable of getting back. You know, like if you have the moxie to get there once.
They could just bring that defense back.
Yeah, well, they don't have that anymore.
They'll get back. But
correct. They don't have that defense anymore. But they do have Ayuk. They do got Deebo Samuel. They lose Pettis to the Jets. But I feel like Pettis on the Jets, right? Giants. Well, I knew he went to New York. I know that Jimmy Garoppolo is more than capable, and he has one of the best tight ends in the world. You know what I mean? Like, when he gets – you're talking about a guy that can run a route. You know what I mean? Like, that offense can go, and Ayuk can definitely benefit from the rest of the people around him. Their running back situation – I mean, I'm not going to preview the Niners, but, I mean, like, this is all about Ayuk. I think he could take the next step because there's so many pieces around him where he won't get all the attention and he'll get open in space. And another guy that we've seen, like, defy gravity, right? Isn't it the one who jumped from, like, the 15-yard line? No, it was Ayuk, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, he was.
But anyway.
I'm high on Ayuk this year.
Said it again.
I'm high on him. I'm high, and I'm high on Ayuk.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think he's definitely one of the guys that I would say that's going to take a leap forward because – partially because of the injuries that he had last year where he wasn't really out, but he was banged up here and there, so his production was probably lower.
Right.
If he could stay healthy, then yes, definitely. I would look for like 80 catches out of him this year.
80?
Definitely 80 catches, maybe 900 yards, 1,000 yards.
All right.
He has big play potential. He's legit.
He's going to be a target monster.
Target monster, according to the fantasy guy. Then we just talked about T. Higgins in the Burrow conversation, but I love T. Higgins. Like, as much as I like Boyd, T. Higgins is that guy, and I think he'll take that leap too. I think personally, Jonathan Taylor, Colts
offensive line is great.
Right, and they're all getting back.
More opportunity. I think Marlon Mack was still there in the beginning last year.
I think Hines is still there.
Naheem Hines, Wilkins. I don't know if Wilkins is
I don't know if Wilkins is there anymore.
But anyway, there's not much name presence surrounding him. The offensive line is great. I'm not sure about him as a pass catcher. And if we're talking strictly fantasy, I think he's valued a little too high. But in terms of NFL, he's going to be legit for them. And he's going to be their season. I know their offensive line matters, but if they lose him and Wentz, then they're done.
Okay. So they go as Jonathan Taylor goes. And he didn't put
waiting
like
for Kyle Kerms to chime in and talk shit.
He already talked shit before. He was talking about Jameis Winston being pretty much ragtagged over in Tampa Bay. But, yeah, so it'll be interesting. I read a stat the other day that year two players, especially the receivers, are just they always do well.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of names that are left off this list that I think are going to take another leap because you put guys like Herbert on and Jonathan Taylor, and these guys we expect. I'm more concerned about the Jalen Ragers, Jalen Hurts, Laviska Shenault. There's a few other guys out there that I think are going to take a leap. I think
you said no Jaguars, though.
Huh?
You said no, you wouldn't take anybody on the Jaguars offense. Shenault.
I said no running backs.
Oh,
and
sorry.
I'm not saying I would take Laviska Shenault on my fantasy team either. I'm just saying I think that he has potential to be a Randall Cobb type player in the league, maybe a little bit bigger, but same kind of guy where he's like a gadget type. Jalen Hurts is now I guess you could say you don't think that they gave him the job, but they did. Jalen Hurts is the bona fide starter in Philly. Jalen Reagor, we had that video that we put out the other day of him making a nice toe drag catch in the back of the end zone. Maybe he put in the work that he needed to. There's a lot of second year receivers. Look at the Raiders with Henry Ruggs. Is he going to take a leap? Is the other guy, what's his name?
My boy, Brian Edwards.
Brian Edwards. He's another one that I think might be
a target monster this year because Renfrow is the guy there, but really
he's like a third down slot guy.
There's a ton of second year receivers this year to keep your eye on, 100%.
Including, here we go. Keep hearing, trying to take back your Colts.
No. Definitely not trying to take back any undercalls.
There it is.
So for those that are listening and not watching, Kyle Kerms bet the over on the Colts 10 wins, and I said way under. And
that was without Wentz. That was our
And
practice.
As I talk good about the Colts and potential, he's trying to say that I'm backtracking on my picks, but there's no way. Colts are not winning 10 games this year.
It all depends on Wentz. If he's there forever, he's one bad blow of the wind.
I don't think they're winning 10 games regardless.
The wind's going to go the wrong way, and he's just going to be like, oh,
well,
God.
You
like,
know what it is? Not only do you have to depend on Wentz to play, you have to depend on him to also be good at football. So
right. And last year,
two ifs.
And last year, he was no good at football where he got benched for Jalen Hurts. So
the one thing that I'll say that the Colts have going for them, well, besides the fact that they have a really good offensive line and good defense, their head coach.
Yeah, I love Frank Reich.
But the rest of their parts, I'm just not buying it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our NFL banter for the what happened in San Diego? We're talking about baseball now. Sorry.
We'll go to the AJ's update and then we'll bring it back to the San Diego.
Okay, cool.
Talk about that in the wild card.
Yeah. All right, AJ, hit him with that good stuff, brother.
All right, friends and family and everyone in between. Okay, we got the Curtis Sells Houses sports update for all your realty needs. Make sure to hit up Curtis Counts. Nice guy. Great smile. Okay, so we got the Yankees going against the Braves. That's where the freeze event happened, and the Yankees were able to take the first game of the freeze series 5-1. The Red Sox and the Rangers go at it in extra innings, and the Red Sox explode in the 11th with 4 runs. They win that game 8-4. The Pirates have a crazy comeback against the Arizona Diamondbacks late in that game. They get the victory 6-5. The Blue Jays and the White Sox go at it, and they have a very low-scoring affair. Blue Jays win that one 2-1. Kansas City Royals upset the Astros. I feel like I repeat myself every single day. The Astros are losing it, people, and the Seattle Mariners are getting closer to that wild card spot as they get a nice W over the Athletics. Or the A, some say. 5-3.
He corrected himself. All right, go ahead.
That's the AJ Sports update.
That's it? Oh, my God. Yeah, all right, man. I'm just like trying to answer texts and stuff. And
you know how the
John Sapanaro
are
trying
MLB?
To set something up? Oh, okay. John Sapanaro was telling me that he's coming to Jersey next month, so he wants to come to the studio. So that's cool. All right, so there's your scores. But the bigger thing, like I said, right before he started this update, was that the San Diego Padres fired their pitching coach. They're in like a downward spiral right now. That's like bad news bears. Like, you know, like that's
2-8 in their last 10, and somebody's got to take the fall for that.
That sucks, though. I hate that, man. When they, like, they got to find a fall guy. You know what I mean? That's garbage. But
hey, that's the sports world, bro. You gotta perform. Is their pitching good over the last month? Is their ERA good? What's going on with it? What's going on with San Diego's pitching? AJ, look that up while we talk about the wild card, right?
Yeah. So the wild card race is a thing, you know, and it's getting to the nitty gritty. We're at the end of August. I'm just trying to look for the.
Do we have the standings?
I got them. Yep.
All right.
So I'll pull up the AL right now and. Looks like, you know, Tampa obviously leads the division right now, still. Houston leading the West. The White Sox are up big. I think they're still up big in Chicago for the AL Central. But here's the wild card. Yankees up 2.5 on Boston. So that's cool. I mean, obviously, the Yankees have won 10 straight games last night. They win their 10th. Shout out to Giancarlo Stanton for staying hot. But behind them, obviously, Oakland, Seattle. Seattle's kind of 3 games back. I mean, Toronto, 4.5. Like, we're kind of giving you guys an update right now of where we think it might go. Like, when you look at this, Gooch, like, what are we looking at here?
If the Yankees can't overtake Tampa,
which now they're down how many games? Four-ish?
Four. I hope that it stays the way it is. I would love to maybe play Seattle or Oakland, but I think just the idea of playing the Red Sox in an immediate Game 7 situation in the wild card.
You must be high.
What?
I don't want anything to do with that.
That's very soft.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Why?
Because, like, are you kidding? Like, that's, oh my God.
You don't want to play Boston in
a, I don't want to play Boston
at home in a winning year in the playoffs game.
Hell no, man.
Sign me up.
See, you're just, that's a, sign me the up. Difference between you and me, that anxiety, my anxiety
not to mention,
running all
not
day.
Not to mention, out of the three teams that are vying for the wild card spot, or the four if you count the Yankees, but the Yankees have created a little separation. I don't want to look at it like, well, we passed them, they're done.
Yeah, no, you don't want to get too ahead of yourself.
Behind Tampa, and that's where my mind is. I'm not on the team, but that's where I'm looking. So if I'm thinking we could catch Tampa and we're four behind them, then any of the teams behind us could overtake us. Any two of the three. Not the way the Yankees are playing right now, but you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
The A's just lost a really good starting pitcher because he got drilled in the face with a line drive. So
terrifying.
I don't think that he's going to be back at all this year, let alone in the next month, right?
He's got no structural damage, I think, or not
fracture. He's got a fractured cheekbone and
but no like vision problems.
No
so
vision
far.
Problems, but right. He's got two broken bones in his face. So I'm probably not going to come back this season with that
helmets. I'm telling you, they're coming.
Seattle, they've been scrapping all year long. I just think towards the end of the season, they're going to probably fall off a little bit. Just judging by their roster, I'm not saying I could be wrong, but. I hope it's Boston and the Yankees. I would love that.
Well, check out what
Tampa.
Kyle just wrote. Yeah, how about that? Sale pitches and the Yankees lose.
Sale, I'll get to Chris Sale. He's only pitched twice this year. He hasn't gone past 5 innings. He's given up. His ERA is not bad for giving up, for just being back off the Tommy John surgery, whatever the fuck you want to say. But I'm not really worried about Chris Sale. The Yankees hit lefties really well. Bring Chris Sale to the Bronx
baby.
Watch what we do.
Oh, baby. Oh, speaking of that, just a funny thing interaction I had today. I haven't checked my Twitter, but I'm sure it's going a little bit crazy. Somebody wrote a tweet today, and you guys can attest to this, just because you guys are hardcore sports fans. The guy was like, here's your daily reminder to not refer to your teams as we or us. And I was like, bro. I was like, and then, you know what the best part is? Cowboys Nation attacked him because he was talking about something and then like whatever. And he goes, and so somebody replied, is this you, bro? And it's him saying, like, we, when in regards to the Steelers. But, like, can we stop that? Like, can we stop? I say we and us all the time.
I say this all the time. Nobody has to explain their fanhood to anybody else.
Correct.
Like, I don't like preseason football. Your boy said that was weird. I think it's weird that he thinks that I think. It's weird that he watches football. If somebody wants to say we because they're invested in that way, by all means, say we. Don't be the James Kang of the group and say, you play for them? No, we clearly don't play for them. You
idiot. Ooh, Scoop. If there are no fans, we don't have a team. See? I like it, Scoop. Good little input. That was a nice little input right there. And I don't usually give him any credence like that. Nice job, Scoop. But yeah, so anyway, said anyway again. At least I'm catching myself as soon as I say it. Yeah, let's head over to the NL. Bring it up. All right, so the Giants looking like they're going to – oh, I can't
see. Well, the
NL
is a two-team race. It's the Reds and the Padres. And the Padres are reeling right now. They're 2-8 in their last 10.
You don't think the Metsies can come battling back?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think it's a two-team race because look at the teams that are free falling, and they're free falling. It's not like the teams that you that are falling down, they need to start playing well. They're not. So there's a lot of problems going on with these teams. Milwaukee's killing it right now.
So the Dodgers are a lock to be in that game in there. I guess if I'm looking at the standings correctly, they're about 2.5 out of the West in general.
So there's no lock there.
That's not a lock.
The NL West is definitely going to have a representative.
The NL West will probably have the first wild card lock.
Regardless, yeah. 100%.
Because, I mean, they're 9.5 up on Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's the second wild card right now. So, like, that's definitely a thing.
It's San Diego and Cincinnati are vying for that second wild card spot. I hope it's San Diego, because just the way I've taken to that team a little bit this year, but they are struggling.
So the team's just so much more exciting. But on top of that, this is probably why their pitching coach got fired. In the month of August and July, their ERAs were 4.70 and 4.82 respectively. Opposing batting averages are 0.270 and 0.266 respectively. And they've gone 8-11 and 11-14 during that time. And have blown.
He was separating the months.
I know, but can I just give you
six saves?
Maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but when you're saying
bringing an aneurysm,
yeah, when you say batting averages, definitely don't ever add the .270. Just batted .270, batted .260.
Oh, okay,
you get that, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm just not a baseball guy's guy, you know.
A baseball guy. Speaking of his team, though, Kyle did chime in before I put it up on the screen for like a half a second that the Mets have 14 straight games with the Nationals and the Marlins. So I think he's thinking that the Mets are going to make a little bit of a run.
He's on crack, because I really think the Mets still continue to box.
And that's coming from AJ. He's a Mets fan. So, yeah. So, take that with a grain of salt. But anyway. Oh, my God. I can't not say it. It's like my segue.
Anyway?
Yeah. It's terrible. It's awful audio. And I'm sorry for that, everybody who's watching. That's just bad on my part. So, with that being said, let's try that one on for size. I say that way too much in the Jersey Boys, and Brett always gives me shit. Let's take a break, and we'll talk about the New York Football Giants, my favorite team in the world to talk about. We'll talk about the Giants coming up after the break. Let's pay some bills, and let's see what kind of merchandise we got for these NIL kids. Hit it, AJ. Service Team of Professionals, a.k.a. Stop Restoration of Edison, is a locally owned and operated business that provides professional disaster cleaning and restoration services, including a 24-hour emergency service to homeowners, property managers, real estate investors, and insurance companies alike. Stop Restoration helps people overcome the stress and anxiety of unforeseen circumstances caused by fire, smoke, water, mold, and other unexpected damages. As part of a nationally recognized restoration franchise, Stop Restoration of Edison is backed by the best technical advisors and business consultants in the country. Visit them right now online at www.stop-edison.com. All right, we're back. Well, I'm back. I'm back, and Gooch is long gone. He is not here. I don't know where he is. But anyway, so some banter on our Facebook page. The only thing exciting about San Diego is Tatis. Otherwise, trash can emoji. I don't know. I mean, there's other guys on San Diego, right? I mean, come on. And then just own it, Dave. I think that has everything to do with me saying anyway a lot. So appreciate the support. So anyway.
Jesus Christ.
I suck. But anyway, holy, I can't do it. Like, I want somebody buzz me. Somebody give me like one of those wristband buzzers, and every time I say it, just give me a jolt.
Dave just had a stroke.
I think
he said like, anyway.
My eyes like starting to twitch, and my arm's starting to hurt. Good Lord. So the New York Football Giants are now day 18 of our 32 teams in 32 days. The New York Giants finished third in the NFC East last year. I'm sorry, second, third.
Third. We're doing them today, so they finished third. Anyway.
But wait. I thought they were in that last game that could have won them the division.
Yeah, because they were all fucking terrible.
So they finished third behind Dallas?
Dave, it's your division.
I know, is that accurate, AJ? I don't know why. That's like bogging me. I think the Giants finished second. They could have made the playoffs on last day of the year. Otherwise, the Eagles tanked, remember? Why am I drawing a blank?
Because they could have made it, but then with a loss that day and a Dallas win, they drop all the way to third, maybe. I don't know.
NFL 2020 standings. This is like, this is going to.
Oh, my God, it is.
I knew it. So I'm like sitting there, I'm like, wait a minute.
This should be Dallas Cowboy Day.
It should be Dallas Cowboy Day, but I'm not prepared for Dallas Cowboy Day, so we're still doing the Giants Day.
And what if I got you mad? That'd be nice.
See, AJ was definitely thinking outside the box there. So, yes, the New York Giants finished second in the NFC East. We'll do the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow. we're just going to lose listeners on that one because there's just going to be too many Cowboys stuff. But we'll start with the Giants. We'll rattle them off. Big things happening with the New York Giants. I think they're much improved on defense, 1 year older with a lot of their guys. I think their offensive line is abysmal, and they haven't addressed it. I still don't understand why. We'll go into all the actual specifics of all this. But then also the coaching situation that we talked about. You know, guys retiring left and right. Like, I know you're not buying into that theory.
Nobody of note, and it's the NFL.
Joe Looney's a
note. I don't think the going rate right now amongst Giants fans is that their coach is bad. I think the Giants are pretty much buying
in. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying that he had that team, all of a sudden adapted.
He had that team playing well. Even in the games they lost, they were tight games last year.
Mm-hmm.
The team plays hard for him, so we'll see how that shakes out. I don't think there's really a coaching issue as of yet.
Okay. Starting at the top, Mr. Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones is your starting quarterback of the Giants. What's your outlook on Daniel Jones, bro? Because I'm not going to be one of those like fair weather fans that like or you know fans that talk about what they don't you know they don't know what they're talking about. But like the whole he tripped over the 20. That's a funny moment. The tripping over the 20 should have been the funny moment.
That is a funny moment.
But I
think that with these quarterbacks, they get handed the keys very early, and then they might get chewed up and spit out a little too soon. We'll see. This is a big year for Danny Dimes. He hasn't had an offensive line yet. He gets his guy back in Saquon. He has some weapons now with Galladay out there. There's no reason why he can't succeed other than the fact that he can't hold on to the football and the offensive line is abysmal, like you said. So he's going to see pressure all year. We'll see.
It's just weird because
I think he's playing for some money too because are they going to pick up that fifth year?
I think to this year for him, like with Daniel Jones as your quarterback, Saquon coming back, Galladay, Shepard, Slayton, you know, they draft Kadarius Toney. They have weapons. They're tight ends, Evan Engram. He needs to learn how to catch the football. But overall,
he's another guy playing for some money, I think.
Yeah, but overall, I'm like, Jones, if you can't succeed with this around you, then you're just not going to be able to succeed with this New York Giants football team. So I think that if this year, if he comes out and throws up another stinker like he has, this is it. Like this to me, I'm not a Giants fan, so I can't speak for that.
I don't think it's it for him. I think that it might be it on them picking up that fifth year because don't you have to do that by a certain time? Like if the Giants don't announce soon, if it might even have passed
what
about picking up the
you fifth can't year? Announce it during the season.
Okay, so they can after the season.
Yes.
Well, they're not going to announce it during the season because they're not going to announce it now. And it's a big year for him if they're going to pick up that fifth option or they're going to just give him one more year to figure it out and then maybe give him the extension after the fourth year.
Kyle Kerm says you can get Daniel Jones over 3,800 and a half passing yards at 115 on DraftKings. Jason Garrett helps that kid pick apart some zones. I'm taking it. Kyle, my guy, look, I love you, and I love your betting, and I love all that stuff. But you're a Cowboys fan. Last time I checked, you know how bad Jason Garrett is when it comes to producing on offense. Like, yes, Dak Prescott had a lot of, I'll say it, inflated numbers when it comes to coming from behind. What do you think Daniel Jones is going to be doing this year? He might be coming from behind a lot. So that's why I think that his numbers could...
I think the defense will keep him in games, though. I don't know that they're going to be getting blown out.
I'm not saying blown out, but even with Saquon Barkley coming back, you're somewhat handcuffed a little bit. Like, you're not going to feed Saquon Barkley 25, 30 times a game.
But now
you're not
going to
do it.
A legitimate outside threat and a guy that could do it all, a big target in Galladay, that's going to help the offense out a lot. They're not going to be able to stack boxes against the Giants like they were in Saquon's first 17 games or 20 games that he played. I don't know. How many games did Saquon play? Did he play? Does he have two full seasons under his belt already or just one?
No, I don't. Two full. I think there was like nagging injuries here and there. I don't think he has any full seasons.
Well, I'm just saying, last year he was hurt for the year. That was his second year or third?
Third year.
So,
and he definitely didn't play full seasons. I want to say there was a shoulder injury. I want to say there was. So he's as big as he is and as built as the guy is as a football player, he is a little fragile. What do you got?
16 games in 2018.
All right. 2019, he misses
so 30
three.
Game is not 20.
Okay, so in any event, I don't know if he gets the rock 25 times. They do have guys like Devontae Booker and Corey Clement behind him to kind of lighten the load, and I think they will do that. The Giants on offense, they shouldn't be terrible. Like if Daniel Jones is the guy they think he's going to be, which they're all banking on that considering how high they drafted him, like this team can move the football. And that's why I think that the Giants pose the biggest threat to what I think the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the NFC East right now. On paper.
So then if you're saying that, then by proxy, you have to think that Daniel Jones is at least going to play better.
Yes.
Right?
I think surrounded, given what he's been given, I think that Daniel Jones will 100% play better. If he does not, then he just doesn't have it.
So we're all in agreement that the Giants' Achilles heel at this point is going to be their offensive line play. If they could put together even a
decent
unit. Right,
if this kid's running for his life, forget it.
Then the Giants' offense could produce. I think we're also all in agreement that their defense is good.
Switching over to the defense. Their defensive end, Leonard Williams, came on. He's now worth what they paid for him, and I believe it was a third-round pick to get him from the Jets.
And then a ton of money.
And then a shit ton of money after that. Their defensive line probably isn't the greatest. Dexter Lawrence is okay. Austin Johnson, don't know who that is. I do know how Danny Shelton is, and he's good. But he's listed right now as the secondary nose tackle. So they play a 3-4. I will say one of my favorite players before he became a Giant was Blake Martinez. He's a tackling machine. I think he's definitely very good at football.
I think he's a good middle linebacker reading the run. He gets in the mix when it comes to stopping the run, but he's a definite liability in pass coverage. 100%
correct.
Liability.
Correct. Now
they dealt with that.
Their cornerbacks and secondary gets a little better. Bradbury is one of the better cornerbacks in football. Let's call it how it is. Adoree Jackson, I could do without. Jabril Peppers, I've always been a fan of him ever since Cleveland. He came over there in the Odell Beckham trade. And, of course, Logan Ryan, who I will never forgive for as long as I live, who broke Dak Prescott's
and
ankle.
And I'm pretty sure they got that safety that didn't play last year because he got
Xavier
hurt.
Xavier McKinney. Yeah, he was another one that
you?
I wanted the Cowboys to grab that guy so bad.
Did they pick a guy from the U.S.?
No, he's out. Yeah, Alabama guy. Either way. But he's another guy who lay the wood. You know, cover. He's definitely a good football player. That Giants defense is going to be good, and I think that's what's going to be the reason why that team takes a step forward as a team. So, AJ, pull up their schedule. They haven't won any games in the preseason yet, much like my Cowboys. They got New England on Sunday. But that start of the beginning schedule for the New York Giants is very, very important to me, and to Giants fans alike, you would have to assume. So the New York Giants start their year at home on September 12th against the Denver Broncos. Now, I think that's a very, very winnable game for the New York Giants. After that, they got to go to Washington, and I don't know about all that, right? But after that, I think they can rattle off two, and that's Atlanta and at New Orleans. I'm even giving them a win on the road in New Orleans. Again, I'm not sold on New Orleans just yet. Jameis Winston can deliver all the passes he wants in the preseason. I'm not buying it yet. Until he stops throwing it to the other team like he's known to do. But right off the rip, you could be looking at a 3-1 or at 2-2 at worst, right? Then the Dallas Cowboys game in Dallas. So even if you want to call that a split, right? So they get another win there or a loss there, but then they got the Rams. So that first four games, you got to get two for the Giants to be competitive in 2021. You have to. Because then after that, it's tough sledding, man. It is really tough sledding. After the trip to Dallas, they go back home for back-to-back weeks at home, but the opponents are the Rams and the Panthers. And I think Matt Rhule coming in to New York, where he should have been the coach. Remember that? If you remember that, he was in running for the head coaching job. There's going to be a chip all over that man's shoulder to win that game. And then after that, you got to go to Kansas City on Monday Night Football. That's going to be brutal. Brutal. The Raiders, like I said, I don't like to pick too many games in a row, and we'll even dive more into this as the season gets closer. But the wins will come early. Then they might go on a little bit of a slide and then not grab their next big performance until like around Thanksgiving when they got the Eagles.
Do we have the over-under up yet?
Pull that up, AJ. And look, after the Eagles, they got Miami, then back to L.A. for the Chargers. So they got to go to L.A. They play both L.A. teams this year. And then they played the Dallas Cowboys in December. And, of course, at the end of the year, they wrap it up with Philadelphia, Chicago, and Washington. Over, under, according to AJ, off mic, which is fine. It's seven. So seven. Find me seven wins for the New York football Giants. Now, I believe on Kyle's show, we both took the under, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think that's where we were at. So finding seven wins on this schedule is rather difficult. And I think they can it's so hard for the NFC East to sweep other teams.
If I said under on Kyle's show, I'm definitely about to change that on this show.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm barely, but I go 8-9.
You think the New York Football Giants are going to finish 8-9? You got 8 wins on this schedule somewhere.
Okay, well, if you said that you think the Giants are going to take a step forward, then by proxy, then
well, they went 6-10 last year.
They did. Yeah. So they were in the they took second place and they went 6-10.
Oh yeah, that division was very bad.
I thought it was.
Dallas finished third at 6-10 because of a tiebreaker.
That's brutal.
Yeah, no shit.
Brutal.
Yeah, welcome to the NFC East. But like I said, I think it's easy for me to say that these NFC East teams, they'll battle, right? Those are those games are always tight. So if I give them a split,
I didn't have the schedule in front of me when I made those picks. Full disclosure, which I will do better for the AFC. I'll have them in front of me.
But if you give them 3 in the division, within a division, they go 3-3 in a division, right? I'll give them that. Find me another 5 wins on this schedule. Maybe Miami.
Okay, an Atlanta game. They match up well with Atlanta, I think.
New Orleans.
Carolina is definitely a winnable game. You're looking at Sam Darnold. You talk about someone that needs to prove something. Daniel Jones has way less to prove than Sam Darnold does. The Raiders, then we're looking at, you're giving them 3-3. I'm saying they could probably beat Philly twice, right?
Okay. That's where you find an extra. That's a big extra win.
The Bears, Miami.
Depends on who's the quarterback in that time, because that's at the end of the year.
These games with the Dolphins, the Chargers, the Bears, those are coin flips to me. Even Carolina's a coin flip. Denver's a coin flip. So, yeah, I would say on coin flips, they're going to split. If they're going to split their division, then the rest of the teams. The only guaranteed losses to me on this schedule is the Chiefs and the Rams and Tampa Bay. Everything else is a winnable game for the Giants.
But in those winnable games, you think they are only going to find 8 of them?
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm going to take them at 7-10. I think that's where they're going to finish. They'll probably finish. That 7-10 record might be second in the NFC East, tied with the Washington football team. We'll talk about them in a couple of days, but 7 wins out of that team and 7 wins out of the Giants might be 7-10, and the Dallas Cowboys, to me, will have, at the very least, with the team assembled right now, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but probably around 10.
I like the Giants 8-9. I like that. The over, I think, here is actually pretty tempting. Because as Chris was saying, the only definite wins are those, and I think that this defense is a lot more capable than people are willing to give them credit for. So
Kyle's saying that I'm reaching with these wins. I don't actually recall saying win. I'm saying there's winnable games.
They're winnable.
I'm saying that there's 3 games that I see on the schedule where the Giants almost have no chance, and out of the remaining 14, there's some winnable games out there. The division isn't great. I need to see more out of Dallas. I need to see more out of Washington, even though I think Washington is clearly the best team in that division right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, the crossover games, like the Raiders, the Chargers, the Broncos, they're all average at best. There's so many question marks surrounding all these teams. Outside of the top 5 in the league, 6 teams in the league, everyone's got a question mark. They could go either way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kyle, right. I'm not reaching with shit, bro.
That is your New York Football Giants preview and predictions. Chime in the comments. We'll this video is up all day, so if you want to like oppose us, do that. Tell us why. The New York Giants, I said they'd be improved. So if they're 6-10, they're 7-10 again. They'll lose 10 games again, but they'll win an extra one this year. That's where I'm at with the Giants. If for whatever reason Saquon Barkley becomes this bell cow again and he can take 25 times a game, then maybe they win a lot of those games that you say are winnable. You know, you said outside of 3, so there's 14 games that are winnable. If they were to get half of them, that makes my mark at 7 wins. So they got to win half of these winnable games for them to at least get 7. You think they're going to get 8. So, and that's probably the extra win against Philly.
Maybe I'm wrong. We're talking about the Giants here. I'm not a fucking big Giants whiz, but the schedule isn't great to me.
No.
Not hard.
No. All right. So, with that, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. We want to thank you guys for joining us each and every day. Be sure to go download Jimmy Palumbo's podcast right now. It is live with Artie Lang, the legend that is Artie Lang, has risen from wherever he's at, apparently, according to the podcast, Hoboken. But he's out there, and he's getting better, so it's very exciting to see for him. But for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ from the couch. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys here tomorrow.
Now I could go get some coffee, and you guys can get some Smoothie King, and the toilet's going to pay.
Speaking of toilets.